Ooh, oh my gosh, this thing just fell off. Friends and family of GCBCR, how you guys doing? Good, good. All right, good morning. So you guys know this Sunday is Father's Day, and can I get the dads to stand up real quick so we can pray for you guys? Dads, can you stand up? Fathers, come on, stand on up. All right, and I'll tell you why you need prayers today, because in our passage from Matthew 7, Jesus actually calls fathers those who are evil. Okay, tough passage for dads today. Tough passage. But let me pray for you guys, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for these men in our congregation, God, who are fathers. We know, Lord, being a father is an amazingly challenging and difficult role to play, God. And we come to you acknowledging that we fail at it every single day. But God, we hold on to the hope, Lord, that you tell us your spirit is the one that's transforming us into the likeness of Christ. And so, Lord, we look forward to the day, Lord, where we are more and more like Christ, that we can be the father that you call us to be, that we can be the light, Lord, to our family and to our community, God, that you have called us to be. I thank you for each father here, God. I don't know what kind of struggles they're going through, God, but this morning, Lord, I pray that your word encourages them, that you build them up, Lord, to be the one that can bring you glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you, fathers. So today we're going to talk about asking our Father in heaven for good gifts, okay? And that's really the passage. It's calling us as Christians to go to our Heavenly Father to ask for good gifts. And so just out of curiosity, I asked a couple dads to think about this. And so do we have a mic runner? So fathers, think about this, okay? What is an interesting gift your child have asked you to get for them? And so I got a couple dads that have been thinking about this overnight. Where are you guys? Can you raise your hand and kind of share? All right, Ro, we got Pastor Ro over there. What's an interesting gift your child have asked from you?
So I had to ask my wife as well, because our child is kind of interesting. If she sees anything commercial, or if we go to the mall, or especially when we go to Kroger, she says, I want this, I want this, I want this for my birthday. So I said, fine, what we do is we'll put it on the list. So we don't actually give her any of the things, all right? So everything is interesting to her. Do I do answer the second question?
Yes, so you didn't actually get her anything?
Nope.
Okay, parental tip right there. Put it on the list and they will forget it after 5 minutes. Nice tip. All right, who over here? We got David, Michael. What you got, Michael?
So my youngest wanted an iPad. She was actually only four, and so I was, you know, kind of guarded against those kind of things. And so she was just copying her older sister. And as a kind of, I guess, a semi-cruel joke, I guess, which falls into the passage you just said, we decided to wrap a piece of cardboard up and actually tape a picture of an iPad to it. And so when she opened it up, she did not take it well. But we actually gave her, then we after she had her meltdown, then we gave her the real iPad.
Oh, so, yeah. Such a nice dad. All right, go Michael and David over here. Michael, you.
So I have a son who is 6 years old, and like any other six-year-old, he loves Legos. So he's asked me for Legos before. But he's got enough of Legos. So instead of Legos, I gave him a BB gun.
BB gun? Oh, my gosh.
Because selfishly, I wanted to play with it. So yes, I'm a terrible father. Don't be like me.
Irresponsible dad right there. David, what you got?
Our son asked us to put a tennis court in the backyard.
Tennis court?
I just explained to him it was how expensive that was. And we didn't have a space for that anyway, so we could just go to the public courts. And there's courts for that already exist that we can use.
So. Nice. I like how all these dads have like ways to dodge buying stuff for their kids. Except Michael Rogers, he actually got her a gift. Model dad over there. All right, so you know, we have this idea that as kids, we're always asking our dads for things. I was actually thinking about this question the other day, and Aiden actually asked me for an interesting gift a couple weeks ago. He asked me for a rusty axe. like an axe to chop wood with, a rusty one. He didn't want a new one. It sounded like something from a horror movie. I'm like, why is my son asking me for a rusty axe? But apparently he's been watching YouTube videos on like hardware restorations. So he wanted something old to like restore it. But there was something interesting, and of course I said no. not getting that. Maybe we could have gotten a second BB gun. All right, so now you know I have one. But today, the idea we're talking about is about fatherhood and gifts from the Father. And this idea of fatherhood in Scripture, it's everywhere. I mean, you can't read Scripture without thinking about the theme of fatherhood, okay? From a Heavenly Father perspective, God is almost always referred to as the Heavenly Father, or the Heavenly Father that we have up in heaven. Jesus himself called God Abba Father, which is a term of endearment. It's like daddy. It's kind of like that. And so he calls God daddy. When we baptize someone over here, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So from a heavenly perspective, the idea of fatherhood is just everywhere. And even from an earthly perspective, when you think about fathers, you know, like the guys who just stood up and future dads over here, Scripture is just filled with all kinds of instructions and wisdom for how to be a father that brings glory to God. In fact, in many places, it talks about the Father being somewhat like a shadow of the Heavenly Father, right? And so as you are being a father to your children here on earth, they ought to see a little bit of that Heavenly Father in how you talk, how you say, how you conduct your life, so they get an idea of the goodness of our Heavenly Father. And so I will tell you, being a dad is actually an amazingly high calling. I don't know if you guys have actually thought about it that way. Okay, being a dad isn't just an accident happened and now you're a dad. Okay, it's a higher calling than that. You are a dad who's been called by God and given a gift of child or children, and he calls you to live a certain way to reflect his glory. That is the high calling of a dad. And we're going to see later, very interestingly, why Jesus calls dads evil. It's just really messed up that when I read this passage, Jesus says, those who are evil, fathers. So it kind of really got me riled up, you know, why Jesus was calling us that. But of course, Christ is going to contrast that to the Heavenly Father and say, why is the Heavenly Father good and why is the earthly Father evil? In quotes. But before we launch into our passage today, which is from Matthew chapter 7, let me just set up some context. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be verse 7 through 11, okay? Matthew 7, 7 through 11. And the idea is this, that for most of chapter 5 and 6 in the book of Matthew, Jesus had been going on one of his longest sermon ever captured. It's his Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about Beatitudes, right? In those couple chapters, essentially Jesus is preaching to those who are listening to him to say, this is the attitude, this is the lifestyle, this is what a person who follows Christ looks like. And if you were to go through those couple chapters and you look at it, my first thought is, wow, that's quite impossible. You know, you look at the expectations and the requirements that Jesus have, not just for his disciples, but also for fathers and for men. You look at it and your first thought ought to be, there is no way I can meet those expectations. And then you come to chapter 7, where Jesus actually responds to our thought about this is impossible. He comes back and say, you know what, actually, it is possible. It is possible to live a life like that, that God has called us to. And he points us to this passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. And it is wrapped around the idea of prayer. Okay, so it's the idea of prayer, and Jesus says that is the way that you can get to live the life that God has called you to live. Okay, so let's jump into it this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 12. We're going to read through it and unpack this passage. So the two critical questions we want to ask is, number one, why is God calling earthly fathers evil? That's a really harsh term to call fathers. And the second question we want to ask is, why does Jesus call the Heavenly Father good? What makes him so good? What is it that he wants to give us that's so good? Okay? So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So Jesus is contrasting earthly fathers with heavenly father. I asked why. Why Jesus, like, all you could have just talked about is, okay, a father wouldn't give their children terrible things, right? They wouldn't give them stones or snakes. They would give them good gifts. But why add in the part in there that says that earthly fathers are evil? That just seems really harsh. You know, I think about my own fatherhood. I'm probably irresponsible, like Michael over there, getting just dangerous toys for our kids. And I've caused Aiden to fall off the bed a couple times, you know, when he was a kid, which explains a lot. But, you know, I would say I'm an irresponsible dad, but I don't see myself as an evil dad. I don't, like, do malicious things to my kids. So why does Jesus say we are evil? And to understand that, we have to back up and look at Scripture as a whole. We have to know the whole story of Scripture. And we're going to find out that it isn't just dads that are evil, okay? In fact, every single one of us, moms included, sorry moms, kids, every single person that has ever lived is evil in the eyes of God. Why is that? So if we look at Genesis, God tells us the story of creation, right? When God created the heavens, he created the earth, he created people, he created animals. It was all good and perfect. The word evil wasn't used in that context. In fact, God described everything that he made as good. It was very good, in fact. Then we know that the fall happened when Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman that was created by God, disobeyed God by eating the fruit that was forbidden. They essentially disobeyed God, and God actually gave them a warning and said, if you do that, death will enter the world, sin will enter your life, and you will be forever broken. You will have evilness in your heart. Your relationship with me, God, will be broken. Your relationship with your spouse will be broken. Your relationship with your kids will be broken. Your relationship with creation, the nature, will be broken. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They did not listen to God. It got broken. And so that's why it is rightly so that God calls all of us evil, especially dads, because dads are supposed to reflect the glory of God. And so now we understand why God calls these fathers evil. And it's not hard to see how fathers in general, men in general, have really failed the fatherhood. And I want to show you some statistics here. And it's on the premise that even if you're a great dad, you will continue to struggle to give good gifts to your children. It will never be compared. It will never reach the limit. It will never be like the good gifts that our Heavenly Father wants to give us, okay? And this here is the chart. It's from the U.S. Bureau, okay? U.S. Census Bureau. Just pay attention to the first bar and the last bar. First bar is 1970. Last bar is 2012. Okay, what this is going to show is the various family types in America and how that has evolved over the years, over the last 50 years. And I want to show us that, you know, fathers really struggle. In fact, not just fathers struggle, but families struggle, because the earthly fathers are having a hard time being godly fathers. So the first one I want to point us to is this one right there, the first bar. That corresponds to this one, married couples with children. Okay, if you look at 1970, at least half of America, like 40%, were families that had a mom and a dad and kids. 50 years later, it's been cut in half, right? Only 20% of families now have a mom and a dad and kids. Half. Half of the families gone. So there's a shrinking population where your family that used to look normal, like a mom, dad, and some kids, it's not the norm now. In fact, if you look at it, it's one of the minority family structures. And then the second one, all the way at the bottom, you see that 10%, that corresponds to this one, other family households, which are primarily single families. I want you to see how it has doubled. It went from 10% to 18% in just 50 years. And we know a lot of the single families are single moms, right? What happened to the guys? Where are the dads? Why are they not rising up to their responsibility to take care of their families, their spouse, and their kids? It has doubled. And here's the last one. 5.6%, which corresponds to men living alone. It has essentially tripled. Okay, guys, they're not getting married anymore. They're living by themselves. And now it's triple that 50 years later. And so you see all these increasing in single family household, increasing in guys who aren't getting married, they're not becoming fathers. And even those who are in the minority and actually get married with kids, they struggle to be good dads to their kids, right? I'll just be honest, I'm not the greatest dad. Our kids and my wife can attest to that. And so even if you do make it to be the minority group of being an actual dad, you will struggle to be a good father. And so that is the bleak picture. You know, we see why Jesus calls us that now. There is just something very broken about families today. And so we really need to reclaim the goodness of fatherhood. We really need to be discipling young men, you know, to teach them and to tell them that being a father is a high calling. Don't shrink from your responsibility. Don't go mess around with girls and never commit to them. Don't do that kind of stuff to someone's other spouse, right? Be a man that brings glory to God. The picture isn't good, guys. Okay? It's not good for us. When Jesus talked about this 2,000 years ago, he knew this was coming, and we see that in American culture. So this is not a good picture for us. But there is good picture, right? There is something that's going to come out of it that is good. That's why Jesus says, okay, all these messed up dads, all these dads that are broken, they still know how to give good things to their kids, like iPads. What about our Heavenly Father? Jesus points our eyes and says, don't look at your earthly fathers. Okay, give them grace. Forgive them. Give them a chance because they are not perfect model dads. Okay, as a kid, please give your dads a lot of grace. It's not an easy job to be a father. And so if your dad has failed you in whatever ways, I pray that you find it in your heart to forgive them, to give them grace, and to pray for them. And even if you have the best dad in the world, please do that for them also. It's not easy to be a father. And that's why Jesus points our eyes and say, go look at the Father who is perfect, right? He points us to our perfect Heavenly Father that not only give good gifts, but he wants to lavish us with his blessing. Sometimes we feel weird thinking, oh, you know, I shouldn't be asking stuff from God because it just feels wrong. And then we're afraid we're going to go into the prosperity gospel kind of realm where we're constantly asking God for material wealth and health and all that stuff. That has gone way off the chart. But asking that, asking your Father in heaven for good things, that is biblical. In fact, this passage tells us, right? It says, your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. So we know that God's intention is to give us good gifts. And to kind of go into that realm a little bit more, I'm going to talk about a couple other passages in Scripture that talks about this. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, reiterating the heart of the Father that wants to give his children good things. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So our earthly fathers may change their mind, But our Heavenly Father does not change. He is always there. He is constant. He is steadfast. You can rely on Him. And it tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Here's another one. In Romans 8:32, this shows us the heart of the Father of how far God the Father is willing to go to give good gifts to us. Okay, and this passage nails it. Romans 8:32 says, He, meaning God our Father, He who did not spare His own Son, Jesus, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Sometimes we think, oh, you know, Jesus was just that guy who died on the cross. Now I get to go to heaven. No, think about it from the Heavenly Father perspective. He said He did not spare His own Son. Think about it. Okay, if I were to ask the dads here and say, what is the most precious thing that if I were to ask you to give away, you would say absolutely no? I would bet you the dads would say my kids. Right? If I asked them, would you sacrifice your child for someone else? No father here would say yes. I would never sacrifice Aiden or Eliza. Right? I love them that much. But this passage tells us that our Heavenly Father did not spare His own Son, but He gave Jesus for us. That's the heart of the Father. And this passage goes to say, if He already gave us Jesus Christ, how more gracious is He going to give us good things? And so we got to go to the Father and ask. I think the problem with us many times is we ask maybe once or twice in prayer to God, and we don't see anything happening, and so we just kind of give up, right? We rationale to ourselves and say, oh, maybe this is not God's will, or maybe this is not what God wants. And so very quickly, we jump to plan B, right? We pray, doesn't happen, we jump to plan B, which doesn't really have God in it. And so we try to solve problems ourselves, or we try to do whatever it is ourselves based on our plan B. And if plan B doesn't work, we try to pray for it a little bit. If God doesn't answer, we kind of bail and go to plan C. I think that's why a lot of us never make it to the point where we seek God so much and ask for His gifts. We never get to that point. We just quit very early in our prayer life. And so if I were to do a poll and say, okay, how many of you guys here actually pray? I'm going to bet most, if not all of you, would raise your hand and say, yeah, I pray. I pray for things from God. You know, I pray about my job. I pray about things that I want. I pray about health. I pray about this and that. And then if I were to ask, how many of you actually pray even more intensively if you don't get or you don't hear or your prayers isn't answered? Some of you might say, yeah, I increase the intensity of my prayer. Maybe I pray every day now. Some of you guys do that. And I'm asked, well, if that doesn't work, do you do even more praying? Most of us would kind of bail out at that point, right? Jesus said, keep praying. Some of us, a small portion, would pray and fast. And so that's what this passage talks about. It says, ask, seek, knock, right? Jesus tells us there is an intensity to this when we pray and ask for good gifts from our Heavenly Father. If you ask and you don't get a response, you seek. You go look for God. If you don't find Him, then you knock. And so Jesus says there's this progression of prayer. Many of us, unfortunately, to our own detriment, I think we end at the asking stage. We never go past that. And so we never get to experience God in marvelous ways, in supernatural ways. We never experience God in ways that He wants us to experience Him. And so when I was working on this passage this week, I realized that that is my own problem. You know, sometimes we don't believe in the power of prayer. We don't believe that God truly cares about us when we pray. Sometimes we don't believe that if we keep asking, God's going to answer. And so, you know, the majority of my prayers end at asking. I'll ask a couple times and then I just quit asking. And Jesus here today say, no, don't do that. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It is a continuous action on our part. And Jesus is funny, you know. He gives this story about how we should go about doing this. And if you will turn to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11 is a parallel passage to Matthew 7. Okay, so Matthew 7 talks about asking, seeking, knocking. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus talks about the same thing, except he adds an extra story in there. This is one of the funniest story, I think, in Scripture. And he teaches us, he say, when you pray, pray like this guy. Okay, so Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8. So this whole passage, Luke 11, is about prayer. Okay, so when it starts off, Jesus' disciple was asking him, how do we pray? And Jesus teach them how to do the Lord's Prayer. If you guys remember, from 2-3 weeks ago, we made a commitment to learn the Lord's Prayer, that we're going to pray that every day. And then Jesus goes into this. He goes into this passage. Okay, Jesus said, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Okay, so this is a neighbor. He's knocking on the door of his neighbor saying, can you spare me some food? Because I have traveling friends, and I don't have any food in my home. So can you give me some food? Verse 7, and suppose the one inside answers. So this is the neighbor he's trying to get bread from. Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Okay, this is one lazy neighbor. He's like, hey man, my door's locked. My kids are in bed. I can't really get up to go get bread for you. So he doesn't want to do it, okay? Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. All right, this neighbor basically wore his neighbor down. Like, he's just knocking on the door like, I need bread, can you come out? And he just wore him out. And then verse 9, it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See that? Jesus himself, he's like, don't stop at asking. If you knock one time and your neighbor's not gonna answer, keep knocking. All right, that's what Jesus tells us. He's like, go approach God the Father and don't stop approaching God the Father. You know, think about your own life. How many times have you actually done that with God the Father? How many times have you asked and you seek and you knock and you just go and be this guy that Jesus says is shameless audacity, right? How many of us go to God like that? Not many. And so the challenge for me this week is I have a couple things in my heart that I've been praying to God for, and I would have to confess I haven't done a very good job praying about it. And so God's encouragement to me this week is, Carter, you gotta ask, you gotta seek, you gotta knock, okay? And so that is an encouragement for you guys this week. If there's things that you've been praying for and you feel like God's not answering, well, seek him. If you have seek God and he's not answering, go knock. Be that shameless, audacious neighbor as Jesus tells us to be. Okay, so I want to close us off with this homework. You should have this in your bulletin. It's called 10 Things Scripture Says About Being a Father. This is just a snippet. If you don't have it, just raise your hand. I'm sure Yao Ming or Jun Lee can hand this out to you. But this is a collection of scripture that talks about fatherhood, what it means to be a father, okay? This isn't an exhaustive list, but it is 10 things that God tells us what a godly father should look like. And I want us to